السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. کنٹینیوئنگ ود دا بایوگرافی آف سیدنا عمر رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ. سو وی ناؤ کم ٹو دا کانکویسٹ آف راما ہرمز. دا پرشنز گیدرڈ ونس اگین ٹو ریکلیم دیئر لاسٹ گلوری ایٹ دا ارجنگ آف دیئر کنگ یزدگرد. ہینس دے گیدرڈ ان راما ہرمز انڈر دا کمانڈ of Hurmuzan. Saad radiallahu anh had already updated Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala about this development. Umar radiallahu anh told him to prepare an army composed of those mujahideen of Kufa under the leadership of Nu'man bin Muqarrin. He also ordered Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anh to prepare an army from Basra and place it under the command of Sahal bin Adi. When the two armies would meet, the overall commander was to be Abu Sabra bin Ruhum. Umar radiallahu anh told him that any battalion joining the army would automatically come under Abu Sabra's command. Nu'man set out with his Kufa army towards Hurmuzan, who was in Rama Hurmuz at the time. When the Persian commander heard that Nu'man was headed his way, he tried to preempt him, as he was desperate for a Persian comeback. The Persians were losing war after war. So he was really desperate now to defeat a Muslim army. The two armies met at a place called Arik, and an intense battle ensued in which Hurmuzan was defeated. The Persians now had to vacate Rama Hurmuz and retreated to a place called Tastar. Sahal was on his way to Rama Hurmuz with the Basra army, but they were impeded at a market which was called Ahwaz, where some fight had to take place. When he got news that Hurmuzan had fled to Tastar, so he changed his direction, he changed course now to go to Tastar. Nu'man also, he also now took the Kufa army and also headed towards Tastar. Nu'man bin Muqarrin and Sahal bin Adi marched towards Tastar with their respective armies and placed them under the command of Abu Sabra bin Ruhum. See how they adhered to the instructions of the Khalifa, right? So Amir al-Mu'mineen told them that once you'll reach there, then both your armies must now come under Abu Sabra bin Ruhum. The commander asked Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh for reinforcements. Umar radiallahu anh responded by sending Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anh with the Basra army. Abu Sabra retained the overall command of all the forces. The Muslims laid siege to Tastar for several months, in which the enemy encountered them in 80 skirmishes. So 80 small fights took place. Many knights gained fame in these skirmishes for one-on-one dueling. They would come out, have a one-on-one fight, etc. Several of them gained the unique accolade of slaying 100 or more enemies in duels alone. Apart from the great number they killed in general combat, these included Bara ibn Malik, Mujza'ah bin Tawrah, Ka'ab bin Su'ur, Abu Tamima from the Basra army, and Habib bin Qurrah, Rib'i bin Amir, Amr bin Abdullah al-Aswad. These were from the Kufa army. At the final skirmish, now, when the fighting grew intense, so Muslims called out to Bara ibn Malik, "O Bara, take an oath that by Allah, Allah will defeat them." So Bara radiallahu anh made dua to Allah Ta'ala, said, "O Allah, defeat our enemy and grant me shahadat." He wanted that the enemy must be defeated, the Muslim army must be victorious, but he must get shahadat. Finally, as the Muslims fought on, they were able to beat back the enemy and threw their corpses into the trenches. As the siege grew tighter and it became more difficult for the Persians to bear the choking grip of the Muslims, two Persian men defected to the Muslim side in two different places along the besieged city. They told the Muslims that the way to conquer this particular fort was to enter from the place water drained out of the city. But the Muslims, they don't know the area. Now they're laying siege to this place for months, but they can't penetrate it. It's so strong, this fort, that they can't penetrate it. Whenever the Persians are coming out for a duel, for a fight, the Muslims are defeating them, but they still can't penetrate this fort. So eventually these two people, they deflected. Allah Ta'ala made the means, they came away to the Muslim side, and they told them that see where the water from the fort drains out. That's a weak point. From there, you can enter this fort. As the information reached them separately, because one person deflected on the one side, other person deflected on the other side. So now the information reached both parts of the army separately. Now both Abu Musa radiallahu anhu and Nu'man asked for volunteers for the task from their respective battalions. So Mujahideen from both battalions met up at the drain's mouth in the night. Once some of the Mujahideen managed to get inside the city, those outside shouted out, Allahu Akbar. The people who got in, they opened the gates of the walled city and quickly eliminated the resistance offered. So Bara ibn Malik and Mujza'a bin Sur, both of them became shaheed in the battle of arrows shot by Hurmuzan. So Bara ibn Malik, both of them were martyred after the Muslim victory had already materialized. It was now hands down that the Muslims are going to be victorious, and then the both of them became shaheed. So this Hurmuzan, the Persian commander, he took refuge in the fort inside the city. But the commandos, the Mujahideen, who had first infiltrated, they encircled him upon recognizing that this is Hurmuzan. So Hurmuzan asked them, he said, what do you want? We both are in a tight corner. I have 100 arrows in my quiver. And by God, now he won't say Allah, he said, by God, you will not reach me as long as I have a bow and an arrow. Now he's threatening them. And he was a marksman with the bow and arrow. He was a very good shot, right? So the Mujahideen responded. They asked him, so what do you want? You're asking us what we want, what do you want? So Hurmuzan replied, I want to surrender myself, but on condition that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu must personally decide my fate. Now what's going to be done to me mustn't be decided here. Umar radiallahu anhu himself must make a decision with regards to me. So the Mujahideen agreed. Hurmuzan then threw down his bow and he gave himself up. The Muslims bound him, placed guards to watch over him, and they made the preparations to send him to Umar radiallahu anhu in Madinah Munawwara. Then they started collecting the spoils of the city. After taking the fifth for the Baitul Mal, they divided the rest among themselves. So the booty was so much that each horseman received 3,000 dirhams and each infantry received 1,000 dirhams. The battle contains many, many lessons, you know, many lessons in this battle for the mu'mineen to come, right? Anas bin Malik radiallahu anh said, I was present when we were trying to break the resistance at the Tastar fort. Right? This happened at the time of Fajr Salah. The battle was so intense that we couldn't even read our namaz on time. We managed to perform our salah only around noon with Abu Musa radiallahu anh. And then Allah Ta'ala granted us victory. By Allah, that one salah is dearer to me than the whole world and whatever it contains. With regards to Bara radiallahu anh, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stuck a great medal of honor on his chest when he said, how many men with disheveled hair, dust covered and dressed in a couple of old clothes, and they are not taken any notice of, but if they were to take an oath in the name of Allah, Allah Ta'ala will fulfill their oath. So this is why, so Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made the statement, and then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, from among them is Bara ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. This is why the Muslims told him that, O Bara, you take an oath in Allah's name that the Muslim army will be victorious. Because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned that this is his quality, his relationship with Allah Ta'ala is such that if he has to take an oath in Allah's name, Allah will fulfill that oath. So now, we come to the point where Hurmuzan meets with Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. So Abu Sabra, who was the overall commander of the Muslim army, sent a delegation to Umar radiallahu anhu, also obviously now to give a report back, and he also sent Hurmuzan with them. When they reached Madina Munawara, they made Hurmuzan wear his royal clothing, like how he used to normally dress, you know. They made him wear all his jewels, his silk robes, embroidered with gold, his crown. His crown was something everybody used to speak about. It was inlaid with rubies, etc. So they made him dress like how he normally dresses, like a king. They wanted Umar radiallahu anhu to see him, you know, in his royal splendor. Then they took him out into the streets, and they went to the home of Umar radiallahu anhu, but they couldn't find him. Some people told them that he was last seen sitting in the masjid talking to a delegation from Kufa. They then went to the masjid, but they couldn't find him there also. When they turned back, two young boys who were playing in the street asked them, why are you going up and down? We saw you all going there, we saw you all going here. Are you looking for Amirul Mu'mineen? He is lying asleep on the right side of the masjid. So Umar radiallahu anh had taken his own garment and he folded it a little bit, used it as a pillow, and he was taking a small nap. So Umar radiallahu anh at that time was wearing a hooded cloak. He took it off when they left, he folded it up and he made it into a pillow and he took a small nap. So now this group now went back to the masjid. They saw Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu alone in the masjid. He's lying down and his whip is in his hand. They sat down a little bit of a distance from him because they didn't want to disturb him. And they warned everybody. They said that don't make noise, don't disturb his rest. So Hurmuzan was perplexed. Right? He's asking, he says, where is Umar? So they pointed to Umar. Now he's lying down there sleeping. They pointed to him. So Hurmuzan is totally, you know, surprised. He says, but where's his guards? Where's his ushers? You know, because these kings, wherever they walk, they got people walking in front of them, behind them, they got guards and all that. So the Muslim Mujahideen, they told him, They say, see, he doesn't have a god, he doesn't have ushers, he doesn't have a scribe, and he doesn't even have a royal court. So Hormuzan commented, then he should be a prophet. Because only prophets are like that. So the Muslims replied, he is not a prophet, but he tries to follow in the footsteps of the prophets, of the Anbiya alayhimus salam. So now more and more people started coming, right? Because obviously it's a spectacle now. So more and more people started coming. And obviously now with so many people coming, Umar radiallahu an woke up. So he sat up, and when he saw this, now this royal in front of him, so he asked him, are you Hormuzan? So Hormuzan replied in the affirmative. Umar radiallahu an looked at him, looked at all his fancy clothing and all of that, and then he said, I seek refuge in Allah Ta'ala from Jahannam, from hellfire. I seek Allah Ta'ala's help. All praise be to Allah who humiliated through Islam this man and his nation. O Muslims, hold firmly to your deen and follow the guidance of your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Do not be deluded by this world, by its glory and splendor. It is nothing but a deception. The delegation now, the Muslims that brought Hormuzan and came, they said, this is the king of Ahwaz near Basra. Ahwaz is a place near Basra in present day Iran. Please talk to him. In other words, like now, you know, he came, he wants to speak to you. We have captured him, but he wants to talk to you personally, so you speak to him. Umar radiallahu anhu refused. He said, I will never speak to him until he doesn't get rid of all these jewels and all this fancy clothing and all that. So all the splendid adornments were removed from him, and only simple clothings were left. And now he was wearing coarse garments, you know, simple clothes. Umar radiallahu anhu said, now Hormuzan, how do you find the consequence of breaking treaties and Allah's vengeance? So Hormuzan replied, he said, O Umar, before Islam, we and you both were left on our own. We overcame you when God was neither on your side nor on our side. But when God was on your side, you defeated us. So Umar radiallahu anhu replied, before Islam, you defeated us because you were united and we were divided. Then he added, he said, what excuse do you have for betraying and breaking treaties with us repeatedly? Because these Persians, they broke the treaties that they had with the Muslims. So Umar now is admonishing him. What excuse do you have for that? So Hormuzan said, I fear that you will kill me before I can explain it to you. So Umar radiallahu anhu assured him that, look, there is no reason to fear that this will happen. Then he asked for some water. He was given some water in a, you know, a simple ordinary cup. Hormuzan said, even if I have to die out of thirst, I won't be able to drink from such a cup. Finally, he was presented water in a cup which suited his sense of fineness. But when he reached for the cup, his hands started trembling. And he said, I fear you will kill me while I am drinking. So Umar radiallahu anhu told him, see, you will not be harmed until you drink your water. So Hormuzan, he took the cup and he emptied it up, you know, he threw the water down. Because Umar radiallahu anhu gave him his word that I won't kill you till you don't drink the water. So he took the water and threw it on the ground. So Umar radiallahu an ordered, fill his cup again. Don't let him die a thirsty man. Hormuzan said calmly, but I do not need water. I just wanted to save myself through it. Umar radiallahu an said, I will kill you. Hormuzan retorted that you just granted me protection. Umar radiallahu an shouted at him and told him, you are a liar. At this, Anas radiallahu an spoke and he said that, O Amirul Mu'mineen, he is telling the truth. You did give him protection. So Umar radiallahu an was astounded. He said, O Anas, can I grant protection to the killer of Mujza'a and Bara'a? By Allah, either you tell me how to get out of this situation, or else I will punish you also. So Anas radiallahu an told Umar radiallahu an, you told him that you will not be harmed until you tell me your excuse, and you will not be harmed until you drink this water. So others also agreed with Anas radiallahu an. Umar radiallahu an turned to Hormuzan and he said, you tricked me. By Allah, none but a Muslim can trick me. Hormuzan was impressed with the justice and the noble character of the Muslims, and immediately there he embraced Islam. So when he embraced Islam, Umar radiallahu an granted him a stipend of 2,000 and settled him in Madinah Munawwara. So now he is living as a Muslim in Madinah Munawwara. Imagine how Allah Ta'ala can change your taqdeer, you know. So we move on now to the conquest of, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this properly, but it's spelt G-O-N-D-E-S-H-A-P-U-R. Gondeshapur, something like that. Allah Ta'ala knows best. I don't know exactly how to pronounce it. But in present day, this is Iran. In present day, this is what we call Iran. Right? So Abu Sabra, he now moved his army towards this place now, Gondeshapur, which we in present day we call Iran. Zar bin Abdullah had already laid siege to this place, and there was some little fighting going on there. The status quo remained till the Muslims lifted the siege and assured the inhabitants that they were under the protection of the Muslim state. So both Gondeshapur and Nahawand were conquered within a space of 2 months. This is how this conquest unfolded. The Muslims were taken by surprise when one day the besieged inhabitants of Gondeshapur opened the city gates, and the Muslims found them going about their usual business calmly. So the Muslims asked them, what is the matter? So the disbelievers replied, you proposed a peace treaty to us and we accepted it. We agreed to pay the jizya tax so that you will not harm us. So the Muslims denied any knowledge of this pact. But the inhabitants insisted that no, we are truthful. The Muslims started an internal investigation and they found that a slave by the name of Munkif from the Muslim camp had written the proposal to them. Munkif originally belonged to Gondeshapur. So the Muslims explained, look, he is just a slave who wrote this. The inhabitants were adamant. They said, we do not know which of you is a slave and which of you is a free man. In other words, we don't know who's slaves amongst you, who's free men amongst you. We were offered a truce and we accepted it. We will not break the truce. But if you want to resort to treachery, that's left up to you all. So the Muslims decided to end the hostilities and they wrote about the situation to Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu wrote back. He said, Allah the Almighty has made the dishonoring of treaties a very serious matter. In other words, it's a big guna to dishonor your treaty. So be true to your word. As long as you are in doubt as to what really happened, accept the treaty and honor it. So the Muslims ratified the treaty and moved on. This is an example of how morally superior the Muslims were as compared to their enemies. There is no doubt that it was this moral superiority and nobleness of akhlaq which was one of the main factors behind such great multitudes entering the fold of Islam within such a shockingly short time. So Muslims were not bloodthirsty people. You look at this fellow, this Netanyahu, right? Couple days ago on Sunday, the ceasefire was supposed to start. Now, the discussions with regards to the ceasefire was already taking place during the week. You know, when they had already like agreed on the terms, they just needed to finalize one, two things. Now, he knows that, look, we are entering now into what we will call a treaty, that we will, you know, there will be a ceasefire. However, he starts bombing even more recklessly to try and kill as many people as he can kill before the ceasefire. So they are like bloodthirsty, worse than animals of prey they are. Animals of prey also, when they hunt something, they're hunting for their food. These people, they just kill. They just kill. Right? Allah Ta'ala will deal with them if they don't make tawbah and istighfar. Allah will deal with them. But as mu'mineen, we do not, you know, become so low that you just kill people for no reason. Nu'man bin Muqarrin had been appointed the mayor of Kaskar. He wrote to Umar radiallahu anhu, I and Kaskar are like a young man and an unchaste woman who adorns herself and wears perfume. In other words, what he was writing to Umar radiallahu anhu, he was saying that, oh Umar radiallahu anhu, this place Kaskar is a place of lot of wealth. And I fear that by me staying here, I will become a worldly person. Look at this Muslim, look at the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and the Muslim army. Even when the wealth was falling at their feet, they were frightened. Now if I'm going to indulge in this wealth, what will happen to me? Just now I'll become a dunya dar, I'll become a worldly person. And then he said, I ask you in the name of Allah Ta'ala to relieve me of my duties in Kaskar and send me to a Muslim army. I rather take part in jihad. I don't want to sit here and enjoy a easy life. Send me out in jihad. Umar radiallahu ta'ala wrote back. He said, go to the army of Nahavand. Go to the army of Nahavand and you be their commander. You be the commander of that army. Right? So we will stop there for now. And inshallah we will continue. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to take the good lessons and to inculcate all of that in our lives. And Allah Ta'ala bring the glory days of Islam back. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanallah wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.